Hi guys, I'm Quentin. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pornography, pride, and people-pleasing. Hi guys. 110 miles per hour, pouring rain from a Houston thunderstorm in an open freeway. I wanted to die, but the pride in me wanted the death to look like an accident resulting from foolishness instead of the weakness I thought would be perceived if I used the conventional method. I was at my lowest point. I had broken up with my girlfriend of 2 years. I didn't enroll in school that semester because I wanted to focus on work, and a month later, they announced that the company is going out of business. I was losing everything that I had built my identity around. Well-paying job, gone. Girlfriend that everyone thinks I'm an idiot for leaving, gone. And I wasn't in school anymore. I was depressed and at the end of myself, or so I thought. 2 days later, after my obviously failed, I'm here, high-speed attempt at suicide, I decided to break my lease, pack up my belongings, and move back to Dallas to be around family. As irrational as that may sound, it turned out to be one of the best decisions that I've made to date. I grew up in a normal family. By normal, I mean imperfect and chaotic. From having 4 sisters, 2 older and 2 younger, to having 2 parents who were both divorced and remarried, to having a stepfather who was in and out of my life, while my biological father was largely absent. I would later learn how this normal life would affect me. I came back to Dallas with the intent of continuing my routine of church on Sundays and worldly living the other 6.5 days a week. But God. When I returned to Dallas, I reached out to a dear friend of mine from the University of Houston that had relocated here, and she eventually invited me to the porch, Watermark's young adult ministry that met on Tuesday nights. I figured that I could substitute Sundays for Tuesdays and get full use of my weekends, so I started going. I would sneak in late, sit in the back, and leave during the last worship song, which frequently left her asking if I even attended. I didn't want to be seen or known, and I definitely didn't want anyone asking questions about my personal life, so the people-pleasing part of me kept coming because I didn't want her to think less of me. So I would text her what the message was about just so that she knew that I actually went. The truth is that while I had extensive head knowledge about Jesus, I didn't know him. And furthermore, I never accepted what it is that he had done for me. I am broken, and it was my understanding at the time that God needed perfection in order to want or love me. I will later learn how false this was. So since I was not yet willing to give up partying hard and philandering, I figured that it would be best for me to wait to hang out with Jesus later. While attending, I witnessed something that was new to me. The young adult pastor actually got on stage and spoke about his addiction to pornography. Growing up, I went to a church where everyone was perfect. Here I see a pastor being authentic, and that drew me in. I kept coming week after week, trying to figure out what was so different, and before I knew it, my life had changed. I remember sitting in my party one Friday night and asking myself why I was still at home. Usually I would be out at a bar looking to pick up a chick or partying like it's 1999. In that moment, I realized that my desires had begun to change slowly but surely as I began to experience the true relationship with Christ. This brought me to tears and led me to calling my sister from another mister. It was at this point that I would say that my life began to change for the better. A lot of my worldly desires were quickly removed as I saw them for what they really were, an offense to a perfect God that was willing to die for each one of my sins. I came to rest in the truth that is packed into Ephesians 2:8-10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. For we are all God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Pornography hadn't been an issue up until this point. I did, however, have an addiction to sex that I kicked rather easily due to the people pleaser in me. After being scolded by a coworker turned mentor who was walking alongside me in the midst of my transformation, it was the last explicit sin, or so I thought, that I needed to kick, and the day before my baptism, my mentor set me down and explained to me rather clearly what it signified. And furthermore, reminded me that other believers will have a duty to call me to the carpet if they see me walking in the in a manner that wasn't congruent with Christ. After a few months of attending, I decided to try out a community group with some guys that I met while serving at the porch. After admitting a few times that I had watched pornography, they recommended I begin regeneration. I quickly either dismissed the recommendation or made up an excuse as to why I couldn't attend. I said to myself, that is for jacked up folks. Those who really need it are there. I don't need it. See pride. Later, I would realize how that statement alone means that I should definitely be in recovery. After watching my community group members that had been growing substantially as they went through the process of regen, I decided I would give it a shot. And the testimony that night was one that sort of solidified my preconceptions that this is a place for jacked up folks. After the testimony, as I was headed to the front for newcomers, as some of you will do today, I ran into a friend who I had been running alongside here at Watermark. She asked me why I was here, and my quick, generic, and deflecting answer was, I'm not perfect. To which she responded, I thought you were. Ouch. That was the blow I needed. I officially needed to be here. She might not know it, but she is the reason that I stayed in recovery. Due to my upbringing in a church of perfect people, I had built up a facade of perfection that was fueled by people-pleasing and pride. I never would have imagined that I would be in front of a crowd discussing how I'm recovering from pride and people-pleasing. I definitely would never utter the word pornography in public. It felt like a rock was in my throat every time I was going to admit it to my community group. Nonetheless, I stayed and began to uncover all the events that led me to recovery. From lots of unforgiveness to my dad's, both of which were and are extremely imperfect, like me, to that one time that a girl got to break up with me and how it affected every subsequent relationship. After I gave up sex due to the conversation I had with my mentor the day before my baptism, I started to use pornography as a coping mechanism. So I guess you could say I really didn't give up sex. It just changed forms. I told myself that I wasn't hurting anyone by watching it, and since I vowed to never pay for it, I'm not really supporting it, so I'm good, right? Wrong. I went to dinner with my mentor one night, and he asked me bluntly how I was holding up in several areas of my life, and I was checking all of his boxes until he asked about sex. I answered that I hadn't had sex since the aforementioned conversation that we had about baptism, and something, probably the lack of confidence in my voice when I answered, made him prod a little deeper. He asked about lust and then said pornography. After confessing, he hit me with scripture after scripture, including one that I had previously learned in an equipped disciple, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what's common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you could bear, but when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. He then explained to me that he shouldn't have to prod me to tell such things as this, and explained to me the importance of confession and the healing that comes along with it. Healing for me began with accountability from my mentor and my community group, and that led to regen, where I would later realize that healing would begin in the past. I learned how I became the man that was flying down the freeway in the pouring rain. I learned how my desire for affirmation from my biological father led to many fleeting relationships. I learned my patterns that led to my sin and how to recognize the turbulence. Most importantly, while doing my inventory, I realized how jacked up I am and how much I really needed a savior. While I tried to hide behind a facade of perfection for the majority of my life, I realized that if I must boast, I must boast in my weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9 through 10 says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" This verse comforted me as I began to tear down the facade I had built and begin to fully expose who I truly am to my community and my core group of friends. The truth is that I've never been perfect, despite my extremely fallible attempts to appear that way. Life since recovery has been different. I've accepted who I was and who I am. I've accepted who I was, a man who was leaning heavily on his own understanding, as the Proverbs warn against. I've accepted who I am, a redeemed and regenerated believer in Christ, who, though I'm far from perfect, finds my worth in him. I want to be clear about this. I still face constant temptation to fall into old habits, but I take these struggles directly to God, community, and the guys that have been blessed to lead here in Regen over the last few months. I don't think that I would have experienced the growth that I have without a community of men who hold me accountable every time that I try to do my own thing instead of trusting God with my life. I've learned to be authentic. As I quickly learned that others were just as jacked up as me, I learned that I didn't have to conceal who I really was. Instead, I reach out when I'm struggling with lust, pride, or people-pleasing to the men that not only hold me accountable, but also are there to support me in the midst of my turmoil. Recovery is a day-by-day process, and I still live 24 hours at a time. There are days when it is easy, and there are challenging days, but I try to lean on one central truth. God loves me and wants what's best for me. All I have to do is trust him. Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Remember the beginning of my story. I was suicidal, and I didn't want a future. But in Christ now I have hope and a future. I have a joy that never existed before while I was trying to hide my sin, pretending to be perfect and seeking approval of others. Since completing recovery, God has used me to cultivate more authentic community with both my community group and the guys that I've been blessed to lead. He has used part of my story, some of which I admitted I didn't want to put on my inventory, to show others in my groups that their sin is not unique. And I never would have imagined the day that I would be on stage saying that pornography was a struggle of mine. But now I'm able to talk about others with it openly and to address it head on with fear, because it doesn't define me. Jesus does. I also don't seek to please the masses as much anymore. But when I do, my community group has no qualms about calling me on it. Instead, I seek to please God first and foremost, as Galatians 1:10 reminds me daily that I should. The root of all of my struggles is not trusting God. And through constant meditation on his word and realizing that I can't project my imperfect earthly fathers upon a perfect and holy one, I can say that our relationship is a lot better than it was before recovery. If this is your first time here and you are thinking what I thought, that you don't need to be here, then welcome. If you don't have that one person that says something to you that makes you stay, then I'm saying that to you now, and I pray that you would give it a shot. Recovery isn't easy, but it's well worth it. Your sin isn't unique, and God doesn't love you any less because of it. God wants you to come as you are, but don't stay as you come. Thank you.